Welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
I want to share a message with you today called a Christmas collab. The word collaboration is when someone works with someone else to produce something. The word collaboration, as it's coming up just here on the screen, is when two things that were separate now work together. Words like alliance, words like partnership, words like synergy. We all collaborate. Collaborate is very common. Give me a wave if you are sitting next to someone that you chose to sit with tonight. Give me a wave. The reason you are sitting next to them is because you collaborated to make that possible. There are some of you right now who are collaborating with people who aren't even in the room via text, WhatsApp, or social media while I am trying to collaborate with you. The most successful sports teams are teams that know how to collaborate. The most successful scientists share information, which is collaboration. But collaboration doesn't always have a positive outcome. In 2011, the London riots started. Because of the London riots, there was destruction across London, and people are still in prison right now because of what took place. This took place because of collaboration. Collaboration can be positive or negative. It can be constructive or destructive. It can be good or bad. The one thing that we can all agree on is this: collaboration is powerful. Collaboration is powerful because it allows you to do what you could not do on your own. You see, your future has 10% to do with you and 90% to do with other people. So my question is, who are you collaborating with today? Here, up on the screen, is a pair of Adidas trainers. Adidas was started by Adi Dassler in 1949. And the Adidas three stripes stand for the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a lie, but be cool, right? Now, he created these trainers, and many of them have been sold, and Adidas have made lots of money. But here's the thing. About 2 years ago, if you were to buy a pair of Adidas trainers, they would be around 50 to 100 pounds. If I would tell you to go and buy a pair of Adidas trainers for 200 pounds, you'd be like, nah, it's not worth it. But Adidas collaborated with a small-time, not very well-known music artist. His name is, begins with K, Kanye West. That's it. Collaborate with Kanye West, his label Yeezy, and produced the Adidas Yeezys. Now, if you want to buy a pair, you can try, but most of them have sold out because they are limited edition, but you can buy them on eBay. While you log in and buy them on eBay, I suggest you get one, two, maybe even three pairs because they're only £1,000 each. That is the power of collaboration. Adidas was selling trainers for £100. They collaborated with Yeezy, and now they're selling trainers for £1,000. This is the power of collaboration. Let's continue to travel down the fashion world for a moment, as London is one of the fashion capitals. You'll find that there's four tiers of collaboration. There is the innovators, the trendsetters, the trend followers, and the mainstreamers. The innovators are the ones that come up with these crazy avant-garde big ideas. You see the stuff on the catwalk, and they're wearing this massive headpiece. They're wearing your nan's curtain, they're wearing a button and nothing else. You look at it and you're like, that's nuts. It's not streetwear, it is conceptual. What happens is the designers then make it into streetwear. The trendsetters wear it out on the street. And you will see them wearing these clothes, and you'll look at them, you're like, I'm not sure about that. Like, they're wearing the skinny jeans before skinny jeans, they're wearing the fedora before everyone else, and you're like, I'm not sure. The reason you are not sure is because you don't know that that is coming into fashion. They do. They're the trendsetters, and they're the ones that take the risk. Now, the next tier is the trend followers. If you buy your clothes from any of those shops on Oxford Street, Zara, Topman, Topshop, Urban Outfitters, Primarni, there is no risk involved. We go and buy our clothes and we know it is in fashion because we've seen it in the magazines and the TV screens. We've seen it in the shop window. There is no risk involved. We just enjoy purchasing what everyone else has told us to buy so we can be a clone and just fit in to the popular group. Then there is the mainstreamers. Now, the mainstreamers is the majority of people who just don't care about fashion. You just put on a t-shirt because it's comfortable and it's blue. Let's just roll with it. Now, The mainstream is, even though you might not care about fashion, you have chosen what you're wearing because it is comfortable, because you like it, and somewhere along the line, someone innovated it, someone set the trend, someone followed the trend, and now you have it. Why am I saying all this? Is it because I want you to be fashionable? No, I don't care what you wear. Wear something that you're confident in, wear something that is comfortable, that's it, job done. The reason I'm saying this is for something to go from here, an idea, into here, a reality, it needed collaboration. It's funny because I see these four tiers in the Bible. Our Father in heaven is the innovator. He is the creator who created the heavens and the earth, you and me. And he created us so he could consistently communicate and collaborate with us. But humanity turned their back on God. And in doing so, sin entered the world. Now sin severed the connection between us and God and stopped us from collaborating with him, caused us to be separate and distant. God did not want to be separate and distant from his people, so he made a way. He sent Jesus Christ down from heaven to earth, and this is why we celebrate Christmas time, because God came fully God and fully man down to us. Jesus, his name means he saves. Jesus is also called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Jesus came from heaven to earth as the trend setter. He started his ministry at age 30, walked around inviting everybody, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It is through me that you can collaborate with the Father. He came with a new way. He pushed away rules, religion, and regulations, and he says, I've come with a new way of grace and love and relationship. He made a way. But Jesus knew that if it was going to continue after his death and resurrection, he would need some trend followers. So he gathered the 12, spent 3 years investing into them. He died on the cross, he rose again, and before he ascended up to heaven, he gathered the disciples one more time, and in Matthew 28, verses 18, he shared with them what's called the Great Commission. He said, therefore, go into all the world, baptizing people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, knowing that I will be with you always. Church, we need to know that the Great Commission is actually our mission. And if we are actually gonna see the Great Commission fulfilled, it will need some great collaboration. You see, Jesus came from heaven to earth as a trendsetter, gathered the trend followers to take the gospel of grace mainstream. That is why we have church on the corner of Tottenham Court Road. This is why we go to Wembley for our carols, because we are taking the good news, the gospel of grace, mainstream. Some of you might think it's already mainstream. No, religion is mainstream. Jesus, packaged as this blonde Swedish guy, is mainstream. But the message of grace is not mainstream, because if it was, people would be flooding in these doors way more than they are. There is people on the streets today. There is people in our nation, in our city, in the UK, who haven't got a clue that there is a Father in heaven who loves them with an uncontrollable, indescribable love. And it is our job to be able to live out the Great Commission by collaborating so that people can get to hear how good and how great he is. So today we're going to talk about collaboration, but please hear me. I'm not talking about my thoughts on collaboration. Today our collaboration comes from one place and one place only. It is the Word of God today. Is there anyone who's grateful that we have the Word of God today to read from? Let's never get accustomed and desensitized to how amazing this book is. So we're going to get into this book and we're going to look at three ways Jesus Christ collaborated, because I believe that these three different collabs will actually allow us to fulfill the Great Commission. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 2. Here we find the Magi, who are the wise men. Some people call them the wise king, arriving to worship Jesus. Now, there was way more than three. They gave three gifts, but there could have potentially been up to 100 of these Magi following the star to worship Jesus. This is what it says in Matthew 2, verses 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The first collab I want to talk about today is collab with Christ the King. Collab with Christ the King. The Magi arrive and they know he is King. They have this revelation that he is King, so they bow down and they worship him. My question is, do you see him as King today? You see, when they arrived, Jesus was not presented or packaged in a way in which he looked like a king. He was not on a throne, he was in a manger. He was not in a palace, he was in a stable. But yet they did not allow that to stop them from worshiping, because they knew who he was. They pressed in and worshiped him. You know, these days, the world packages Jesus in a way that causes us to not see him as king. They're trying to diminish his strength, trying to reduce his power so you don't see him as king. So you see him as this nice guy with long blonde hair who did some good things, this kind of Mother Teresa type figure. But I want to encourage this church to press past what the world is saying about Jesus Christ and have a fresh revelation that he is king today. When the Magi arrived, they gave three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were actually fulfilling a prophecy from Isaiah 60, which was written years and years before. The prophecy said, kings will come from other nations, they will give frankincense and gold, and they will praise him. Do you know what? At the same time as fulfilling a prophecy from years ago, they are also setting in motion a new prophecy, because the gifts that they gave were actually indications of who Jesus was. The gold showed that he was an everlasting king. The frankincense showed his priestly role and that he would be set apart for some people. Myrrh was used for death and burial. And because of that, that gift was indicating the fact that Jesus was going to die for the people that he was set apart from. In those three gifts, it was a prophecy of what was to come. My question is today, do you have a revelation that he is king? Is he just a nice guy? Is he just a good guy with some great behavior? Or is he the almighty King of Kings? Is he a king or was he the king? Was he a king who just entered the history books, or is he the king who changed the history books forever? Because maybe you're here for the first time and you're like, Dan, I've heard about Jesus. I've heard the carols, the Christmas carols, but I don't really get the whole king thing. Well, let me just tell you. The Bible says that my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. That's my king. My king is a sovereign king. No means or measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's incredibly powerful. He's infinitely merciful. He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's the sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece to civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine in true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him tonight, because he supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged and he rewards the diligent. I wonder if you know him, because he is the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him, King Jesus? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His range is right. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but yes, he is indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't outlive him and you can't live without him. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. If you're grateful for your King tonight, go ahead and give him some praise. Lift your voice for the King of all Kings, Jesus. I want to put it to you that it is infinitely more valuable to collaborate with Christ the King than Kanye West. Because you can collaborate with Kanye and build a brand, or you can collaborate with Christ the King and build his church, a hospital to the sick and the needy and the broken, a house where you can come as you are, not who people say you are, a family, not a firm, a place that will not hold your past against you, but will hold your future in front of you. It is so much better to collaborate with Jesus Christ rather than Kanye West, because with Kanye West, you might be able to make some money, but with Jesus Christ, you can get rid of fear around the area of finance once and for all. You can collaborate with Kanye West and be part of something which is seasonal, or you can collaborate with Jesus Christ and be part of something which is eternal. You can collaborate with Kanye West and be part of something which inspires a generation, or you can collaborate with Christ the King and be part of something that empowers and equips and inspires generation after generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. You can collaborate with Kanye West, and yes, you can build a monument to self. Or we can collaborate with Christ the King and we can leave a legacy of grace. Now, the thing is, you hear about how good and how great he is and you assume that the moment you have that revelation of who he is, you drop everything and you go, I'm all in, I'm following you. But here's the thing. If you truly want to collaborate with Jesus Christ, your King, you will find that there's always one thing that stands in the way. And the enemy loves it when there is one thing, because if there's one thing the enemy wants to stop, it's us collaborating with our Heavenly Father. He wants to stop us collaborating with Jesus, because he knows if he can disconnect us, if he can stop us from collaborating, then this thing here has no future. There's one thing, or one example in Luke 18, where this rich young ruler approaches Jesus and he's like, hey, Jesus, I love what you're about. I can see the miracles and I'm ready to follow you. He says, I'm actually quite a good person. I tickle the boxes, so I'm in. Like, you ready? Let's go. And Jesus turns to him and he's like, oh, nice one. All right. You know the Bentley that you rocked up in? Yeah, yeah. Just sell that because we're getting the tube anyway. And you know your house and Knightsbridge? You don't need that because I've sorted the accommodation. So sell your stuff and then follow me. The lad's like, sell my stuff, but I just got the Bentley. Like, look at the rims, man. Like, it's new. Like, and the Bible says that he walks away sad. Now, if you look in the original Greek, what you find is that it's way more than sad. He is grieving. He is in sorrow. He is mourning because he knew who Jesus was. He had a revelation that he was king, and he wanted to collaborate with the king. But the problem was he liked his stuff more than his savior, so he never went all in, and he never truly followed. I wonder what that one thing is today that's stopping you from truly collaborating with your king. Because maybe like the rich young ruler, maybe it is money. You get your worth from your net worth. Every single decision you make is about how you get more profit in the bank. Well, I want to encourage you, the moment you let go of the stuff and you start serving your savior, you will find that he is enough because he is your provider. He is your everything. That will always hold you back if you're constantly trying to get more money in the bank and you live in your life. Because at the end of your life, you'll look back and you might have accumulated some stuff, but you will ask that question, there must be more. Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's your job. Maybe your job and your career is everything. You're just trying to climb the ladder. You're just trying to get to the next level, the next position. And your worth and your identity comes from your title that you have in work. Your self-esteem comes from pleasing your boss. And all your decisions are about, will this help me in my career? You know what? We are all about having success, godly success in the workplace. But the workplace and the career should never prevent us from collaborating with the king. Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's not the workplace. Maybe it's your partner. Maybe it's your bae. Your security comes from your partner. You're very vulnerable and susceptible to their moods and their needs, and every single decision you make is about them. They are the one which you think completes you, therefore everything is about them. We are all about healthy relationships, but what you find is that when you collaborate with Christ the King and you receive love and mercy and kindness like no other, that will bring health into your relationship with your partner. But if you push aside collaborating with Christ the King because you think your partner is more important, then you're leaving yourself open to dysfunction. Your partner and your bae should not be before Jesus Christ. Collaborating with the King, he should always bring first, allow him to bring life and health into every situation. Maybe it's not your partner. Maybe it's your family. It's a little bit touchy here, controversial now. Maybe it's your family. I want to put it to you that your family should not stop you from collaborating with Christ the King. If you get your worth and your security from being accepted by your family, if you live your whole life trying to live up to your family's reputation and every decision you make is, will it please my family? Will they be happy? Then you'll be limiting your whole life from collaborating with Christ the way we're meant to. We are all about healthy family. We are all about strong family. We're about family, family, family. But family should not stop us from collaborating with Christ the King. Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's not work. Maybe it's not your partner. Maybe it's not your family. Maybe it's your church activity. Have you become church-centered rather than Christ-centered? Do you get your confidence from what you do in Christ? You want to do this and that. You want to be in this team and that team. You want to wear the badge and look like the perfect Christian with the big smile all the time. Like, look at me, I'm doing it. What's happened is you've lost sight of the fact of what he has done for you, and it's become about what you can do for him. But God's up there saying, look, serve me not out of obligation, but out of adoration. You see, when we collaborate with Christ the King, we get fresh revelation of his love, fresh revelation of purpose, and out of that do we serve. We don't serve to earn his appreciation and earn his acceptance. If you're in the room today and you get your self-esteem from how the leadership of the church sees you, then you are in a place that is ending up with a very negative outcome. I want to encourage you to seek him first, collaborate with Christ first, and then allow every moment that you serve in church to be such a blessing and a thing full of joy. Right now, if that's you, if money is holding you back, I want you to know that when you collaborate with Christ, He is your provider and He will give you everything you need. If it is work, I want you to know that He can give you godly success in the workplace if you collaborate with Him first. If it is your partner and you're like, yeah, but this person just makes me whole. No, there's only one person who can complete you and His name is Jesus Christ. Collaborate with Him first and allow the health of that to flow into your relationship. Maybe it is family. Let me tell you, when Jesus Christ went on the cross, He didn't say you need to do this and do this and do this and do this to be accepted. He says, upon the cross, come as you are. You have been accepted and you are welcome to be part of the family of Jesus Christ. You have already been accepted into the heavenly family. So out of that revelation, go into your earthly family with wisdom and love and patience, and you watch as God does miracles in your family life. And if that's you today, you know you've been living just to please people in church. You know you're trying to be doing, do, and you've lost what it means to have a fresh relationship. Today, go right back to basics. Go right back to the very beginning. Do you remember the day when you first got saved? When you first put your hand in the air and said, yeah, I've decided to follow Jesus. When you first got water baptized, such joy, such excitement to serve Him. Go back to basics and start again and enjoy an amazing relationship with Christ the King. That is what healthy collaboration looks like. That is the starting place. We collaborate with Christ the King. The second one, we collaborate with a close circle. Everyone say close circle. It says this in Matthew 4, verses 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed Him. Going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. Jesus came from heaven to earth and started a connect group. And within the 12, He had His close circle, He had the four. These four that He's just chosen, Jesus spent the majority of time with. Now, I want to put it out to you that it is this collab that we are missing today. In our church, we have lots of things set up for you to collaborate with Christ the King. We're all about that. We have stuff for you to have a connect group. We have stuff for you to join a team. We have stuff for you to do with the community. But we don't have anything for you to find the twos and the threes and the fours close relationship. That is because they're meant to be natural and they're meant to be organic. Now, the reason I know that this close circle is missing today is because people put Facebook statuses up like, hey, anyone doing anything Friday night? Want to hang? Or, hey, I'm moving house. Can anyone help me? The reason they have to put something up to the public is because they don't have anyone in private that they can say, hey, I'm moving house. Do you mind just helping me? If you want to know whether you have this close circle, you just need to see who you go to in the good times and in the bad times. The moment you got the job, who was the first person that you text? A load of knuckle emojis. Got the job. Or when you got the fight, when you got fired, who was the first person that you said, hey, I've got nothing to do tonight. I've just been laid off from work. Do you want to hang? When you just got engaged, who's the person that you told before you changed your status on social media? Or when you went through a bad relationship situation, or maybe you're looking like you're heading into a divorce, who are those people that you went to for advice? Who are those people that you opened up to? Who are those people that you told when you're about to have the baby, that you said, come over, we're going to celebrate? And who are those people that came and joined you when you had the miscarriage? And even though they might not have had anything to say, they just sat with you and prayed with you and was there for you. Those people are your close circle. That is a close circle collab. And maybe you're sitting here today going, well, Dan, I don't have that person in my life. I don't know anyone like that. Well, here's the key, vulnerability. The key is vulnerability, because the moment you take off the mask, the moment you stop pretending, the moment you stop exaggerating and you be the real you, then people get to meet the real you and trust starts development. Here's the key, start adding value to other people. Start treating other people like you want to be treated, and you will find birds of a feather flock together as like is attracted to like. This is a missing circle, and the reason it's a missing collaboration is because of insecurity. When we don't collaborate with Christ the King, we don't get our security and identity from Him. And because of that, our insecurity stops us having these close, meaningful relationships. And because of our insecurity, we allow fear of rejection to take over. Now, if you want to know whether you have the fear of rejection, you just need to look at how you relate to your friends. If you are clingy, if you're obsessive, if you're controlling, that is because you have a fear of rejection. If you don't want them to hang out with other people, if you're always looking at their social media to see who they're hanging out with, you have a fear of rejection. The reason you're so clingy, the reason you're so obsessive is because you desperately want to be with them and you don't want them to be with anyone else. But what you got to understand is that the fact that you are holding them so tight is causing them to be so suffocated that you are actually pushing them away and you will never be able to actually form this close circle collaboration that we are meant to be having. The key is you first collaborate with Christ the King. Build your identity knowing who you are in Him. That way, as friends come and go, people change your world, your identity is not shaken because your identity is not built on a person. Your identity is built on who Jesus Christ is. And then be vulnerable. Then be transparent. Then show yourself, show your true self to people and enjoy building trust. You might say to me, well, Dan, what's this got to do with Jesus when He chose the disciples? Well, you got to understand the schooling system of back in the day. See, they didn't have primary school, secondary school, or sixth form college. No, they had Beit Sofai, Beit Talmud, and Beit Midrash. Beit Sofai was from ages of 5 to 10, which was called the house of the book. There, from ages 5 to 10, you would memorize the first 5 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, memorized. Those 5 books of the Bible was called the Torah, also called the Pentateuch, 5. Can you imagine the 5 to 10-year-olds in our church memorizing the whole of the Old Testament? Like, it'd be crazy, but that's what they did back then. Then you would go into secondary school, which was Beit Talmud, which was called the House of Learning. From age 10 to 15, you would memorize the whole of the Old Testament, Genesis through to Malachi. Can you imagine us saying to our teenagers, hey, do you mind memorizing the whole of the Old Testament? Like, they struggle with a memory verse, with pictures. But it was different back then. Now, as you can imagine, it was actually quite difficult to memorize the whole of the Old Testament, and you had to be very smart, very clever. So if you weren't smart enough and you weren't clever enough, you would drop out of school and you would continue in your father's trade. If he was a butcher, you'd be a butcher. If he was a candlestick maker, you'd be a candlestick maker. If he was someone else, you'd be someone else. Whatever your father did, that's what you would do, right? Now, if you were smart, intelligent, the best of the best, you'd move on to the final one, Beit Midrash, which, yes, sounds like a curry on Brick Lane. And in Beit Midrash, it was called the House of Study. Here, a rabbi, a trained rabbi, would come and handpick you out because you are clever enough, because you are smart enough, because he thinks that you can do what he is doing. He says, come and follow me. Then, wherever the rabbi would go, you would go. If the rabbi went to KFC, you'd go to KFC. If the rabbi went to Winter Wonderland, you would go to Winter Wonderland. If he said, guys, today we're praying and fasting, that's what you do. Whatever the rabbi would do, you would follow. Now, here we pick up Jesus, who is a rabbi and a teacher, and he chooses his disciples. He's walking along the beach, getting his suntan on, whipping his blonde hair back and forth, obviously, as he does. And then he sees the disciples, and what are they? Fishermen. The fact that they're fishermen means that they were not the best of the best. They were actually dropouts. But he walks along and he says, you, and you, come and follow me. And they drop their nets and they follow him. What this means is that when Jesus was choosing his close circle collab, he didn't choose it on education. He didn't choose it on vocation. He didn't choose it on background or popularity. He chose it on a heart connection. We knew that there was a heart connection because the moment he says, follow me, they drop their nets and they followed him. We spend our whole life trying to choose our friends based on what they can do for us, based on their popularity, based on their background, based on their wealth, and it's all fake and it's all fickle. If we truly want to have healthy relationships the way Jesus did, I'm not saying you go out in the foyer and you say, oh, you, drop your Asda bags, follow me. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you find those people that you have a heart connection with, people who are gonna you can build your life with, who are gonna go through good times and bad times with you. See, there's this phrase, and it's like, now show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That's a cool phrase, right? It's like, just think about who you're hanging out with. But the problem is, we've taken it and it has messed us up because we've pictured this future, which is a surface, fickle level future, right? We picture this mansion house, big car, perfect partner, perfect kids, smiling and skipping and dancing all the time. We're so successful at work. We're so popular with our friends. And we picture our future and then we look at our friends and we're like, no. There's no way they are going to take me there. So we push aside those friends who we might have had a hard connection with to go after these other people that are going to take us to this place. Even if you do get to that place, let me tell you, that is still going to be a place of emptiness, because stuff does not make you whole. There's only one thing that makes you whole. That's collaborating with Christ and collaborating with a close circle. You know, Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a good friend sharpens a friend. Problem is, we keep getting rid of all our dull friends because we think they're not sharp enough. No, this is the key. There will be times when you are dull and they will sharpen you. And there will be times when they are dull and you will sharpen them. That's what true friendship is like. That's what it looks like. And I just want to encourage us, let's make sure we are not a church that pushes away these amazing, great friendships because we think if we go for these people, hang out with this popular group, this wealthy group, this cool group, then we're going to get somewhere which is more successful. Let's appreciate. Like over this Christmas season, why don't we just appreciate and be so grateful for the people that we have in our life right now? And if you have that close circle, you tell them that you appreciate them and you are so thankful that they are with you in the good times and the bad times. A close circle collaboration. Christ, close circle. Third one is the church, aka the community. Jesus collaborated with the community. You see, Jesus was hanging around with his clique. He was hanging out with his disciples. And within the time spent with his clique, they would define the Father's love. They would describe the Father's love, but it didn't stay there. They always went out and demonstrated the Father's love. You see, they had a clique, but the clique wasn't inward focused. The clique was outward focused. They're about helping the community get involved with collaborating with the Father. And this is what our connect groups and our close circles should look like. We should not be these inward looking cliques. We should be living our life to help people be part of the community. Jesus did not come from heaven and earth just to enable the people who were around in his time to collaborate. No, what he wanted to do was make a way for every single human being that was going to step foot on this planet in his time and in the days to come to have an opportunity to collaborate with the Heavenly Father. That's what he wanted. He wanted to make a way for every single human being, regardless of their background, regardless of their nationality, regardless of the behavior, regardless of what they did last week, last night, he wanted to make a way. But Jesus knew that the only way he could make a way was by dealing with the sin issue. And I touched on this earlier. So to deal with the sin issue, right? So Emmanuel means God is with us. He went to Calvary on the cross. Calvary means God is for us. So God is with us. And then God went to the cross to show that he is for us. And upon the cross, he took our sin. And because he took our sin, that means we were set free from sin, which means today, none of us need to sit here today with guilt, with shame, with brokenness, with identity issues, with fear or anxiety. No, today we can be set free from all of the stuff. That's what the cross was about. Now, upon the cross, Jesus Christ died. But as we know, Christmas is a celebration because we know the beginning and the end. He died and rose again. He conquered the grave and then he ascended up to heaven after he had given the boys the great collaboration, the great commission. In Acts 2, if you're here for the first time, flip over Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you get to the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit comes down in Acts 2. It's called the day of Pentecost. Pentecost means God is in us. God is in us. So Emmanuel, God is with us. Calvary, God is for us. The Holy Spirit came down, so God was now in us. You see, what Jesus was saying before he went to heaven, he said, boys, you need to go out. The Great Commission actually needs to be a reality. I'm sending you out, but before you go, wait for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will enable you to collaborate in a way that you couldn't possibly imagine. See, right now you see division, 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 but when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll all be united as one. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us today. What this means is that we do not need to copy the collaboration of the world. We need to demonstrate the collaboration to the world. What this means is that when the world says that a difference causes division, we say, yes, there might be many different differences, but we are united because we've got that one thing in common. We believe in the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. You see, we will have theological differences. We will have different denominational differences. We will be brought up many different ways. But the one reason we can collaborate here today is because of the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit enables you to forgive when you thought you couldn't forgive. It enables you to overcome when you thought you couldn't overcome. And let me just show you what it looks like. In Acts 2, verses 47, it says, they followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at home. Every meal was a celebration. Every meal was a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God. People in general liked what they saw. Every day their number grew as God added those that were saved. All they're doing, right, is coming together and worshiping Him. And then they're celebrating having five guys together. And people are seeing something that's so attractive. They're like, I'm in. I want to know more. I want to come along. This is why our church is growing. Because all we simply do is gather together and lift up His name above our differences. And then we go out and we have a party and celebrate. And people are getting to hear and see that Jesus Christ is alive. You know, in worship, when we say, come on, let's sing out. And some of you are like, nah, not feeling it today. It's not a song, don't feel like singing. Well, what you're doing is you're holding us back from unity. For Matthew 8 says, when one or two are gathered together, I am there with them. There is power when we sing together. You know the bit where we're like, come on, let's give God some praise, or let's lift our hands up. You're like, nah, not lifting my hands. Nah, not doing that. Introvert, just don't feel like it. Nah. What you're doing is you're depriving our community from unity. You know when we say, come on, let's give God a shout of praise. Let's lift up His name. You're like, nah, not shower. Don't like it. No. You are holding us back from unity. Could you imagine what our house would really look like if we just went all in and worshiped together and focused on Him? Can you imagine if we lifted our hands in the air like we just didn't care, lifted up His name, praised Him, and just had a party like no other party? Then the headlines in the newspapers would not be, hey, there's this big festival at the O2. The lines would go, there is something happening at the Dominion Theatre, Tottenham Court Road. I don't know about you, but I want to take this gospel of grace mainstream, and I've got to tell you, it's starts in here tonight. It starts with us collaborating here tonight, because we are the power song to our community. So you might think, what does that mean? Well, you know, I've been working out a little bit. In fact, I work out every day. I box and I run. Some people say, well, Dan, when do you rest? That's what I do when I'm sleeping. No, jokes. So what I've done, I've taken up running, got my Nike app, and when you get a little bit tired, when you get a little bit weak, you just press this button which says power song, and you can choose the songs which give you some power, give you some inspiration. See, this is my run here. I run along the Thames, greens when I'm fast. And yeah, this is my power song here. Yeah. Obviously, first choice power song, right? Because you know, even if you are tired and you're just doing that thing that Christine Kane was talking about the other week, yeah? You know, if you put this, you start sprinting. Like, it's literally, I don't know what comes over me. The green bit is when this song comes on. That is my power song. The reason it is my power song, because when I'm weak, when I feel like giving up, I put that on and then I go. I'm telling you this because we are the power song to this city of London. We are the voice of hope. We are the anthem of victory. We are triumphant because He is triumphant. And you've got to understand that you might think you're sitting at the back. You might think that you have no influence. You might think that you're here by chance, but no, I want to tell you today that we as a community, when we collaborate with Christ the King, and we collaborate with our close circle, and we collaborate as a community, and we lift up the name of Jesus Christ, and we celebrate together, then we go out. And then when everyone is speaking about negativity, when everyone's saying, oh, this is happening and that's happening, there's nothing for youth, all they're doing is tearing down our city, there's no jobs for the people, there's no this, there's no that, no matter what the newspapers say, we stand out. We're like, no, there is hope on the horizon because we are the power song. And the way we get to speak with such boldness is because we have collaborated together in here. There is so much power in unity in the house and church. I want to encourage you to never underestimate the significance of us meeting together at 5:45 on a Sunday evening in the Dominion Theatre, Tottenham Court Road. See, here's the thing. They said in 2016, it was the year of the unexpected. Brexit happened, it was unexpected. Leicester City won the Premier League, it was unexpected. Donald Trump is president, it was unexpected. 5p carrier bags, it was unexpected. I don't know what you're expecting tonight, but I truly believe that as we collaborate together and lift up the King of Kings and lift up the name of Jesus Christ, miracles are going to take place. I don't know what you've given up on. I don't know if you've dropped your head. I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but I do not believe it's a coincidence that you're here today. So we're going to sing, O come, let us adore Him. And out of that place of adoration, let's expect the Holy Spirit to unite us and prepare us and equip us so we can be fueled up and tooled up in a great way of collaboration. Let us believe that we will see the Great Commission become a reality in our city of London.
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.